It's about a motorcycle, a pair of glasses, and a bumblebee. Name that person. I ask him, what? Off and on.
He said, I didn't dodge that bullet. I actually got hit by the bullet. I'm going to count my loss.
If you are not evaluating what you're doing, you need to evaluate why you're not evaluating what you're doing.
Got to hear that again just to hear it again.
We are going to go with Jack Palance.
Time to turn the page. We've all heard enough of that story.
Keep one hand on the wheel and one foot on the gas. These struggles you'll face, they are real, and you can tell them to kiss your ass.
Igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within. You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration Podcast with Fox Beyer.
Welcome to the second episode of the What's Your Inspiration Podcast. I'm Fox. And today I have Miss Julia Beyer on. Miss Julia Beyer lives in New Jersey, the Garden State, and she is a teacher. Her last name is no coincidence. We are brother and sister. Julie, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm making it. I'm making it. I'm doing as best I can at this point. I'm actually doing very, very well. The first podcast was excellent, and I cannot wait to hear, we can't wait to hear what you have to say in this podcast.
Oh, good.
Are you excited about that?
I'm super excited.
Don't worry, people. She will loosen up over time. A little bit about Miss Julia, of course, my sister. I mean, she really got me going on this journey. In other words, in January of 2015, I came out with my book, Letter Kindling. And it was this stack of paper. And so it became what to do with this stack of paper. And she really encouraged me to get out and to start doing open mics. And I believe, if I'm correct, Julia, February of 2015, you fired me an email saying, hey, here's at the Chatham Library, they have an open mic. You should go over and do it. And you accompanied me and set me off on the road of open mics. So I want to say thank you for that.
No, you're welcome. Grandma was there too.
Our grandmother was also there. Well, not at the initial one, but at the actual event in April, she was there, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You took one really good picture there of her eating. She was crushing some food. So I guess she was enjoying at least part of the event.
Liked it.
She did.
All of it.
She did.
Yeah.
So you ready to get started?
I am.
All right. Starting with quotes. We know you're my sister to our brothers as well, a daughter, a girlfriend, a teacher, but we want to know, in terms of a quote, what's one of the first quotes that pops up in your head in the morning as you drive into work?
You're number one in my book.
You're number one in my book. And, you know, it's funny because in the last podcast with Stuart, he said that his son, Hayden, sort of directed him where he wanted to go that day. And for you, it's our dad, and it's very much the case for me. But could you tell a funny story about that quote? Were you really aware of what he actually meant when he said it?
No, I wasn't. I thought, like, he had a book, and I was listed number one, and that mom was second.
That our mother was second. You're always number one, and she is number two. But it's funny. It speaks to tone a little bit, right? And there's a difference between, buddy, you're number one in my book, and, man, you are number one in my book. I'm saying the same thing in words, but I'm actually saying two totally different things. And our dad meant the former. And it took me a while to catch on to that as well.
I didn't realize there was like a gesture that went around.
Yes,
there is
a gesture.
High school.
Yes, there is a gesture that goes around it. So I figure this would be a good time to really think about who actually is number one, the best in your book. You ready for this?
So
Julie, what is your number one late night snack?
Ice cream.
Ice cream. What flavor?
Depends. It's either vanilla or mint chocolate chip, but always with whipped cream.
If you know Julie at all, she might top a hamburger with whipped cream if they let her. And to be honest, I do too. So whipped cream, depending on what again?
So it would either be mint chip or vanilla, just whichever I'm in the mood for.
In the mood for, but always top with whipped cream. Okay. Yeah. Next, your number one athlete.
Well, that's easy, Derek Jeter.
Yeah, that's easy, Derek Jeter. And if you know her, yeah. She signs her name oftentimes, not Julie Byer, but Julie Jeter.
That sounds good.
Have you ever considered changing your last name to Jeter?
No, but I've considered naming my kids Jeter. Right. My dog Jeter.
Do you think that Greg will be up for that, your boyfriend?
Yeah,
He would. Does he have a choice?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Of course he does.
Of course he does. You're a team. You're a team. Of course he has a choice. A few more. This is called what's number one in my book, for real. Your number one college team.
Lynchburg, because that's where I went.
The Lynchburg Hornets, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, you played from 2003 to 2006, correct?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's right. Played shortstop for Coach Simmons and is still the all-time leader in sack bunts, is that correct?
Oh, yes. Got over 100.
Over 100 in 4 years. That's a lot. Wanted to tell you a story. Do you remember coming down to visit me at USC? And you're a senior in high school at this point. And we are playing catch with a football. If you all, anybody listening knows the University of South Carolina, below Bates Walkway, where the band now practices. And there's some intramural sports going on there. We're playing catch with a football. And one of our outfielders at the time at USC, Mark Stanley, is walking across the walkway, and he's watching you throw the football to me, and he looks at me and goes, "Fox, she has a better arm than you do." Do you remember that?
I remember playing catch with someone walking by, but I don't remember him saying that.
It was. She's
You taught me how to throw, so.
I taught you how to throw, but then after that, it was up to you. She, big league arm from shortstop for the Hornets, from 03 to 06. Any college team that you watch on television now?
No, I mean, not unless I'm with you. We're watching South Carolina.
Right. Do you feel like you're forced to?
Not forced to, but I don't know. I don't usually watch it.
Gotcha. And we'll get more into what Julia likes to watch on television a little bit later. Two more number ones in your book, for real. What is your number one restaurant in San Diego?
Sandbar.
The Sandbar.
Really good chips.
Really, it has really good chips. You can't find any better chips here?
No.
Yeah? So what kind of chips are these chips that you love so much?
They're chips that go along with salsa. I don't know. What do you call those?
Tortilla chips?
Yeah.
Tortilla chips. Yeah. The tortilla chips.
They come out warm.
They come out warm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Did I have them?
Yeah. I might not let you really have any, but I'm sure with you, but you had some.
Because you like them so much. Okay, so the tortilla chips at the Sandbar in Mission Beach in San Diego, California. That's
And the fish tacos.
All right. Okay. So anytime you're in San Diego, I've been there as well, the Sandbar, Mission Beach. It is the spot to go for, I think, just a great view, great atmosphere, great food.
And the staff is good looking, right?
The staff is very good looking. Yes. Yeah. That's definitely true. There's a good view in more ways than one there. Let's go with one more. This is very. I tell people on social media, this is you're going to have a lot of laughs here. And as you can hear, we are giggling like a bunch of schoolgirls at this point. And the last number one, I'm number one in, or you're number one in my book, For Real, your favorite Wilco song.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't know.
I like them all.
You like them all. Maybe I probably sprung that on you a little bit too early. How many Wilco concerts have you been to?
I've been to one.
Been to, okay.
In the city.
And yeah. It was in October, November sometime, correct?
No, that was Roger Klein and the Peacemakers.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about a story. Yeah, it must have been the Roger Pine concert. Explain the you know, usually at events like these, we enjoy adult beverages and hot dogs and maybe nachos, but not always, just little snacks like pretzels. But what unbelievable food did you have at this Roger Pine concert?
So at this like rock concert thing, I had a piece of pie, pumpkin pie with whipped cream. So I was sitting there up front eating pumpkin pie.
That's an absolute true story, people. She had pumpkin pie during a concert. Now, did you have to buy it, or was it something that was given to you by the band themselves?
No, the waitress was like, we were in like a special area, and she was coming up serving, and we asked them if they had dessert. I really wanted ice cream, but settled for pumpkin pie.
With whipped cream on top, so.
Yep, of course.
You made it happen.
Really good, too. Yeah.
Was that your late night snack for the night?
Yeah, yep. That was.
How about that? Okay. First segment. You're number one in my book, For Real. We got to know her a little bit, know Miss Julia a little bit more. How about books? You know, books you're reading. You know, you're a school teacher. You are an avid reader, and you encourage your students to do the same. You have a degree in reading, am I correct?
Reading specialist.
She's a reading specialist, a high school teacher and a reading specialist. So she knows a thing or two about books. One book that I thought was interesting that you enjoyed from your answers to my earlier questions was Brain on Fire by Susanna Cahalan. Am I saying that correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So from what I've read about it, it's an account of one woman's struggle to regain her identity. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you reread it?
Yes, because our students read it, so I read it a couple times.
Okay, so it wasn't. So was it a pleasure thing, that you, or was it more of you had to?
So like both, because it's a crazy story. She gets like this. She's misdiagnosed like a bunch of times with different diseases like schizophrenia and all these crazy things, but it's something else, like a rare immune like deficiency disease that she has, and she becomes like a different person, and she's like on the verge of dying, and then the doctor figures out, she went to a bunch of different doctors, eventually figure out what she has, and she like recovers, but she could have like, she was so close to just becoming like brain dead. She from Summit, and kind of
Summit,
cool.
New Jersey?
Around there. Yeah, there's like a, in her recovery, she writes about going to like nail salon in Summit, and all the Summit moms are looking at her like she's crazy. Yeah, it's a really good book.
What does it teach your students, do you think?
So we use it to help them with their college essay, to help them write like a essay that's personal to them, and she writes in like a different style, which is kind of cool.
Okay.
Just with different quotes and pictures and stuff. So we use them. That's the reason we use it.
Gotcha.
And the kids like it.
Right.
Sure. We show like interviews with her. We watch that stuff. So it's cool.
Brain on Fire by Susanna Cahalan. Wow. Okay. And what value, here's my question to you. What do you suggest kids do to regain their identity?
To regain their identity?
Yeah, and this is
if they lose it, or to like figure out who they are?
Well, I mean, this is a book about a a woman who struggles to regain her identity. If you're a high school student, maybe you're searching for your identity, right? That's probably more accurate.
Yeah.
Suggest as a high school teacher that students find their identity?
I don't know. I think that it comes with like having experiences and staying true to yourself and like having, you know, a certain set of personal morals and beliefs and sticking to them and not letting anyone influence you, even if there's a lot of peer pressure. I think it's hard though. Maybe forgiving yourself if you do something wrong and learning from mistakes. I'd say that. Gotcha. That's how they could figure out stuff.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Not doing drugs. Yeah, yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah, staying away from maybe things that not exploring too much, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What does forgiveness mean to you? If you had to define forgiveness, like forgiving oneself, what does that word mean?
Like letting go and moving on. So learning not to do or let something happen to you again, and then moving on from it, like not holding a grudge.
Right, right. Because I think grudges hurt the person who's been hurt more than the other one. It's, I don't want to be an emotional prison with you anymore. I'm not saying what you did is okay, but I don't want to be an emotional prison with you anymore. So therefore, I'm going to forgive you and move on.
Yeah. Yep.
Gotcha.
I think it's hard, but if you have like a short-term memory, you know, it can help.
Yes, yes, sure. A short memory, a poor short-term memory definitely helps within forgiveness. You know, spoke last week to Stuart Lake, and one of the things that we didn't talk about was his more people that he really admires, and one was one of his outfielders, Chris Singleton, whose mother was shot. And the killings in a church in Charleston, South Carolina, a couple of years ago, and he's a man that has really shown his toughness through forgiveness and being able to remember his mother, keep her present, but yet forgive the shooter. And I think that's very commendable.
Yeah, it's hard too.
Yes,
it's not an easy thing to do. I can't imagine.
I couldn't either. I don't. It's a process, correct? Forgiveness, wouldn't you say that forgiveness, Julia, is a process?
Yeah, and with time, like it helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a process, and you have to work at it.
You do. It's not something where you can snap your fingers and say, okay, I forgive you, I'm going to move on. It does take time.
Yeah. Yep.
I hear you. Okay, so we've gone from lighthearted to more serious here on the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Why not? Ready for some more giggles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I asked you to list your two favorite movies, and what was your answer to me?
I don't remember. I don't know if I have two favorite movies.
Well, why don't you think you have favorite movies? I think I know why.
Because I can't sit through a whole movie.
Exactly. You said, I can't stay awake to watch a movie. So, yeah. And then you wrote to me, does a documentary count?
Yeah, I did write that because there's certain ones I like.
So I'm going to say yes, documentaries count. And going back to your number one in my book, what are your top three documentaries?
I like Blackfish. That's a good one. Did you watch that?
I have watched that. And why don't you tell the listeners maybe thematically what it's about?
So it's how SeaWorld kind of stinks and how they abuse their animals. And then how, you know, in particular, the orchids and how they mistreated them forever. And then how trainers got killed because of that. So you can see commercials now on television, how they're not going to do that anymore, keeping the orchids in captivity. So it's pretty good. The footage is shocking and scary. But it kept my attention for the entire time.
certainly kept my attention. It's for
yeah,
a.
And I probably will never go to SeaWorld.
Yeah, right, right. It certainly kept my attention as well. And if you love animals, it's engaging, but it's also quite disturbing. A gripping documentary called Blackfish. I mean, I got around to it. I guess you recommended that I watch it a while back, and I didn't end up watching it until probably about a month and a half ago or so. Blackfish on Netflix.
That one's good.
It really is. How about another one?
The one, I don't know the name of it, but you know it, is about the skateboarder Gator.
Yes.
And how he kind of just, all the fame and stuff got to him, or I don't know if it got to him, but couldn't really handle it. And then he got all the fame taken away from him because skateboarding kind of changed. And then how he ended up murdering somebody. And now he's in jail.
Man.
So that one's like, that one scared me, but still kept my attention. And it's like crazy how shit works. Stuff works. Oops.
Yeah. I mean, you could say on the podcast, don't worry. Let it eat, as they say on the podcast. What did you take from it? The documentary is called Stoked, and it's about, I forget his last name, and you know, Greg Taylor is going to get on me for this, but first name is Mark, and the last name
Gator,
and they call him Gator, yes, and
besides last name, yeah, okay,
and it's called Stoked, and it's actually on YouTube. You can pull it up, the entire documentary on YouTube. It's like you said, like Julia said, very, very engaging. My question to you about that documentary is, what did you take from it?
I mean that, like, nothing is going to last forever. Like, he thought he was going to have all this money and be famous forever, and it just, stuff changes. Everything changes. So you have to prepare for that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, the part of, like, you know, how he ended up killing that girl, like that, I didn't get anything from that, but scared the crap out of me.
Me too, and sort of how he did it, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I got out of that one.
It's called Stoked, and it's on Netflix. And maybe one more that you watched?
One more that I really like? I don't know. I don't know if there's another one that, like, I really, really liked. I stayed up the whole time, the first time for it.
I've actually got a story about one that you and I began watching. This was not a movie, people. This was a documentary called Grizzly Man on Netflix.
What's the story for this one?
I'm going to leave this to you. What is the story about when you and I went to watch Grizzly Man on Netflix? What happened?
Is this when you were, like, calling me because you wanted me to watch it, and we were talking about it, and it was winter, and I was lying on my couch, and you called, and I told you I was dying, and that's why I couldn't watch it with you?
Were you, in fact, dying?
Over. That one?
Were you, in fact, dying?
No. And I think I was screaming it into the phone.
Okay.
But you came over, and, like, didn't I just fall asleep? I'm sure I did.
You most certainly did, Miss Julia. I was all excited to show you this documentary of Jim Treadwell, who spent 13 years in the summers in Alaska, living basically with grizzly bears and other animals. And maybe within 5 minutes of the beginning of the movie, you fell asleep, and I just left.
I warned you.
You did. And people, it's not because the documentary is not engaging. It is a very engaging documentary. Just that Miss Julia had a long week of work. She didn't have her nachos from the sandbar. And she's
not
just,
nachos. I don't like cheese.
Oh, I'm sorry. The tortilla chips from the sandbar. She did not have any of them that week. And was feeling a little bit down. And so she fell asleep within the first 5 minutes of Grizzly Man. But it is a brilliant documentary. Agreed?
Yes, because you came back and I thought we watched it all, or at least I watched it all.
Mm-hmm.
Did we watch it together?
I don't recall if we did or not. I know that I've watched it a handful of times. One is with our dad, and he definitely loved it.
Yeah, it's very good. It's crazy.
Because there is a part there where Treadwell does tell the Park Service that they are number one in his book.
I didn't remember that part. It's funny.
It is. It is. So, Jim Treadwell, Grizzly Man, Netflix, highly suggested by both of us. Last segment, Miss Julia. Are you good on time?
Yeah, I'm great.
Okay. Second to last segment, I should say. So, music. And I asked you about music you've been listening to or a group that you're into currently, style, and you put rock, pop, and country. So, since you gave me a general answer, I wanted to play a game with you called Who, or I should say, What, Which, and Where. A game called What, Which, and Where. Don't worry, if you get all the answers correct, then it's not a very good game to begin with.
Okay.
So, even last week, Stuart, I maybe got one of the three answers correct, but it's about music, rock, pop, and country. So, are you ready?
Multiple choice?
I'm going to have to go with fill in. I mean, I'll give you a large hint for the first one. How's that?
Okay.
So, this is sort of what are the lyrics? Finish the lyrics, okay?
Oh, boy.
And this has to do with a couple of things. The hint is it has to do with the connotation of when Dad says, you're number one in my book. Okay? And it is a country song, and it's from Aaron Tippin. It's one of my favorites. Please fill in this line or this lyric. It goes like this.
Okay.
Kiss. Kiss this, and I don't mean blank.
Oh, man, I know it.
Yes, you do.
My rosy red something? I don't know.
You're exactly right. Just fill in the last word. Kiss.
Oh, my rosy red cheek. No.
Well, you do have two of these. So, what do you normally kiss if you're going to kiss somebody?
Well, on someone's lips.
Yeah. So, fill in the lyrics again. Kiss this, and I don't mean
my rosy red lips.
Yes, from an early 1990s song from Aaron Tippin.
Huh.
There you go. One for one.
From the 90s.
Yeah, it's probably between 89 and 92, if I had to guess. But don't
always play it on. Really?
We're gonna have to look that up, people. So I don't quote me on that. But Aaron Tippin, kiss this, and I don't mean my rosy red lips. I'm not even sure if that's what the song title is, but that is a lyric from one of his songs.
Huh.
Wild.
Well, I got that one.
All right, one for one. Now you're feeling better.
Yeah, kind of got it, though. You gave me a clue.
Well, I was going to give you clues anyway, so don't worry. I'll take care of you.
Okay, good.
How about this? Which, okay? W-H-I-C-H from the game What, Which, and Where. Which song title is actually correct? Frequently, I or people mess up song titles. Okay? The Hopstopper. Do you want to tell the Hopstopper story?
I get this one right.
Go for it.
Well, no, you have to.
Oh, do you want to tell the? I want you to tell the Hobshopper story.
Oh, you want me to tell that story?
Please,
you can tell that story.
No, you go for it.
Well, Nick always called you the Hobshopper.
My brother, our brother Nick.
Yeah. So we were on the beach at the beach, and we were searching through songs, and I wanted you to play that. So I thought it was called Hopstopper, but it's really Hot Stepper. What is it called?
Here comes the Hot Stepper. So.
And I thought it was Hopstopper. I don't know. It was like a made-up word.
You did make up a word. So if anybody knows me, I have spastic cerebral palsy, and I walk with an educated limp, if you will. And my brother, Nick, kind of took that into context and sort of said, well, if there was a song that would define you, it would definitely be Here Comes the Hot Stepper. And he changed that from the Hot Stepper to the High Stepper. I mean, all the things that I can't do, he basically called me, but it was in an affectionate way. Here comes The Hot Stepper by Emmy Camus, and I guess Miss Julie always thought it was The Hob Stopper.
I feel like, wasn't it last or the summer before we like discovered that I didn't know that?
Yes. What is a hobstopper?
I have no idea.
That's my point. Why would you call somebody something if you had no idea what it meant?
I don't know. It was some slang thing. I didn't know.
That's true. It was just out there. So I understand. But back to reality here, folks. So, which... It's okay, a whoops. I've had many of them. This is actually a whoops on my part, and I'll tell you in a minute. So, which song title is actually correct? Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From the Black Crows, do they have a song called Tyson's Car Wash or Twice as Hard?
Twice as Hard.
Twice as Hard. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct. You're up. Two for two with absolutely no hints, by the way.
Yeah, I had no idea either. That was just a guess.
Just a guess. I don't know.
Sounded like a better title.
I'm going to see if I can pull it up on my phone and maybe you can hear it. People, I don't know if the sound quality is great. You know, I did play a song with Stuart on last week and you could hear a little bit of the Pearl Jam song. So let me just YouTube Twice as Hard. You know, raise your hand now if you're listening and you thought it was Tyson's Car Wash. So here we go, Miss Julia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna crank it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That's an ad.
Yeah.
You probably can't hear it, but I haven't played it yet.
I can hear.
All right, I'll let it run a little bit, people. Jam along with it. So let me ask you a question, Julia, as the song plays.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think messed up those song lyrics? Who thought it was Tyson's Car Wash?
Well, I mean, typically it's me, but it's probably you.
It was absolutely me. I thought it was Tyson's Car Wash.
Why?
That's a good question. Like you and the Hobstopper, I can't answer that.
Yeah, you just kind of, that's what you heard in your head.
Yeah, that's what I heard in my head. So you heard a little bit of Twice as Hard by the Black Crowes, a band that I like a lot. I suggest you put it in your song list, wherever it is. So one more. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Where does this come from? The line goes like this. Focused on my task like a laser beam, no time this day, not a second to daydream.
Letter Kindling by Foxfire.
Wow, you are 3 for 3. What poem?
Oh, I don't know.
That's
read some more of it.
I'm sorry?
Can you read some more of it? Or recite some more of it?
Well, I'm going to probably give it away, but okay.
It's okay.
Never giving in to the spontaneous or anything that might be extraneous. Focused on my task like a laser beam, no time this day, not a second to daydream.
Keep going. You're going to say the name of it.
I know. I don't want to keep going because I will give away the title.
I don't remember, but...
Well, think about it. You're on the podcast here with me this week.
Adjust. Very hard to adjust.
It's very hard to adjust. But I guess my comment on the on that, the connotation is when people travel or do things, when they travel, 85% of them go to the same place they've always been, trying something new. And that's part of what I want people to get out of the podcast is when we discuss all these things, maybe it'll inspire you to read a book. Okay, like Braid on Fire, maybe to get into the Black Crowes. Enjoy the tortilla chips at the sandbar and things like this. So that's the...
And watch some documentaries.
And watch some documentaries, including Blackfish and Stoked as well. So that's really the whole point. And shameless plug, Miss Julia. Yes, my book, Letter Kindling, available off my website, foxbeyer.com, F-O-X-B-E-Y-E-R.com.
Do you have any more books coming out?
do I have any more books coming out? I have enough for another book. I am going to publish another book eventually, shortly. I'm just not sure in what format. I probably am going to write, have one that sort of depicts my life with poems in it, as opposed to a book of all poetry.
Oh, I like that idea.
Do you? Do you? Are you into it?
Yeah.
Have you read the entire book?
What?
Have you read the entire Letter Kindling book?
Of course, cover to cover.
Cover to cover. What's one of your other favorite poems?
I like the garbage one.
The garbage one? So.
And the skinny fat dude one.
The skinny fat dude one. So what is the garbage one about?
My father and how he loves the garbage.
Right. So we've sandwiched the podcast around our dad. So he doesn't like the garbage. I guess he likes throwing out garbage, correct?
He just doesn't like to have like a lot of crap, you know?
Yes.
Or clutter.
Clutter.
I mean, like that. Yeah. Less is better.
So what's the opposite of a pack rat? He's that, right?
Opposite of a pack rat?
Yeah, I mean, he's the opposite of that, right? Or a hoarder.
Billy Byer?
So our brother Billy. Our brother Billy, he likes to have...
Throwing stuff out.
He likes throwing stuff out like our dad as well. I'm sort of in the middle. Where are you in the spectrum of this?
I would say I'm in the middle. I mean, I'm very clean, but I would say I'm in the middle with stuff.
Yeah, I am too.
I just threw out a bunch of clothes. Well, donated a bunch of clothes.
Where to?
So on the way to the gym, so in Berkeley Heights.
Berkeley Heights, New Jersey? Yes. Is it a Habitat for Humanity?
What?
Is it a Habitat for Humanity?
No, it's not Habitat for Humanity. It's like, I don't know, it's a big shed and it says, donate clothes here.
Okay.
And I just drive in there and drop my clothes off.
Very, very nice. Very nice. Making somebody very, very happy. So that's basically the point of the poem, and it's called Zero Adds Up to a Lot. It's
yes.
Zero adds up to a lot. So learning how to live with less.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I always thought it was like the title had something to do with garbage in it.
I guess not. It does. You know, and the opening talks about. The line goes, there is nothing that frees my mind more that I doubt than going through my house and throwing things out. So that's definitely about garbage.
Yeah.
Definitely about garbage.
Sure.
Totally true. So you really were, I would give you a 2.85 out of 3. That's a pretty good score.
Why do we get that?
Well, you didn't get the actual poem name. But you did get where it was from. So I've got to give you it more than partial credit on that on that question in the game: what, which, and where.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take it.
You'll take it and run. So
yeah, it's still an A.
What's that?
It's still an A.
2.85 out of 3.
Yeah.
Is that an A?
That's a solid A.
Yeah, it is actually, because 27 out of 30. Would be 90%, 2.85, 28.5 out of 3 is a solid A. You are correct.
Yeah. Highly effective.
Highly effective. You are a highly effective person. For sure. For sure. So do you think that what, which, and where I should play that game in my next podcast?
I think you should.
I should. Mm-hmm. I should. Okay. And I will. And I certainly will. So, Miss Julia, we're gonna wrap up here. And
okay.
What I wanted to ask you and... for you to tell our listeners, this podcast is about igniting, evoking, and inspiring the fire within. It's the What's Your Inspiration podcast. And we get inspired by trying something new. You've done a lot of traveling and been to a lot of places in the past year and a half, 2 years. What is something new that you have tried within that time that you suggest others do? Try fish tacos?
Yeah, fish tacos and surfing.
Surfing. Miss Julia is an avid surfer. I mean, she was in San Diego in November and probably surfed the 3 or 4 days you were there, you probably surfed for what, 6 hours?
No, but I did surf for a while.
You did surf for a while. What do you get out of surfing that's so exhilarating, inspiring?
Well, I like being in the water, so that makes me feel better. And it's fun to, like, stand up and ride a wave in.
Yeah, you're on.
I don't go on the big waves, obviously, because I don't want to drown. And they're kind of strong. But it's just a fun thing to do. I don't know. Something about being in the water makes me happy.
Truth. I mean, and it definitely does make you happy because you did have an accident over the summer in which you broke your nose and you just kept going.
Yes, I did break my nose.
You did break your nose and
a little nervous.
You were a little nervous. Yeah. You were. Do you want to describe a little bit more about that accident?
Well, it was the first time like surfing or getting lessons. A big wave came in and I crashed into my boyfriend, Greg. And then his like leash wrapped around my leg and dragged me underwater for, I don't know, like 30 feet or something. So it scared the crap out of me. But we paid for the session. So I just went back in the water and surfed for like an hour and a half. And then I came out and I think my nose is broken. And he looked at me and was like, oh, shit.
Right.
And then we went to the emergency room. And obviously they couldn't do anything, but I didn't know that. So I just had to look like a horrible, ugly person for a couple of days until it went down. And it wasn't like bad enough for it to be like fixed, you know? So I was probably being a wimp, but it hurt.
No, I don't think you're being a wimp. I don't think I would have gone back out and surfed after that. I did not realize that it was in a surfing class. I thought you were just surfing with Greg. And just recreationally, if you will, I didn't realize it was within a class. But and you're not an ugly person. I wouldn't refer to you like that.
Well, I looked hideous with this big nose, this big crook. Yeah, so I don't know. But it was fine.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse.
Could have. Could have.
It was more scary being dragged under the water.
You said for 30 feet you were dragged underwater? I mean, you weren't 30 feet down, but for 30 feet going toward the shoreline, you were dragged underwater.
Yeah, I would think, I don't know, it was for a while. They just pulled me in because it was like Greg's body weight pulling me in.
Gotcha.
Not like my own. Gotcha. So it was kind of scary.
So,
but it was good. It was fun. And then, like, I think the next week it went out and got a surfboard for myself. Like Greg bought me one for my birthday.
And you've got it there at Mission Beach right now.
Yep. And its name is Fox Number 2.
Fox Number 2. So once again, it's showing us that I am number one in her book.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's a great place to stop for this week. For our second podcast, Miss Julia, I want to say thank you. And yes, the feeling is mutual. You are certainly, for real, number one in my book.
Oh, thank you. Without the gesture?
Without the gesture. There's no gesture needed or involved in that one.
Okay, thank you. You're number one in mine.
Thank you much. Okay, everybody, that is the end of the second What's Your Inspiration podcast. Julie and I will talk with you all later. Take good care.
You've been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Spire. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Okay, here we go. Oh, we're rolling. Here we go. Ready? In days of yore, it was such a fuss. I could not find it within myself to be just. Tried as I must. I could not adjust. Stuck in my routine, rigid even in my dreams. My life to find my structure, wanted to step away from destruction. Never giving in to the spontaneous or anything that might be extraneous. Stuck in my task like a laser beam. No time to stay on a second to daydream. I must make myself into a man and pull myself out of this routine quicksand.
Why can't I understand? And life is what happens when you're making plans. In days of yore, it was such a fuss. I cannot find it within myself to adjust. So number 12, try again. You can adjust.